Hey guys, what's going on in Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. In last episode, we started talking about the attractiveness of a person's motion, like swimming, diving, free diving. And today I would like to go into a little more detail and talk about swimming. I will focus on actually two parts here. One is, of course, what to do when a shark is passing by or is actually lured in because of your motions. And of course, I will then talk about how to behave, how to repel a shark, which we started talking about already. And of course, what kind of reaction, general reaction, is necessary. Whenever people swim, they create sounds, and sounds are a natural attractant. But the big problem when you swim, of course, is you hardly look below the surface. So most likely you will not see a shark coming in. So in today's episode, I will not talk about the sight you choose per se, but rather how you should swim, what kind of technique you should use to create as minimum of a noise as possible, and of course, what then to do when a shark is close by. Although we will not talk about the site where you choose to dive, let me just highlight here again. Whenever you swim somewhere, even if you have your face above water, if you swim there and you could not see or you cannot see the bottom, do not swim there. Okay? You always want to see the bottom, or you have a certain visibility level that you will not lower, meaning you will not just say, well, okay, I'll see 10 meters down, 30 feet down, that's enough. No, you want to see the bottom. Most of the time when we're out there and we swim, we don't really see a shark. Yeah, just because we don't really look for one. So there's always the chance that one shark may really just lurk around, is close by, but again, we just don't see him. So my personal view is, if you swim where sharks are likely to appear, keep that in mind and behave and swim in a way as if a shark is already there. When you talk about swimming, of course, we have different styles. You know, there's freestyle, breaststroke, backstroke. Breaststroke most likely is not the best way to swim out there just because you don't really stick your head below the surface and look around. From this viewpoint of submerged head, freestyle would be the best choice. However, here as well, your field of vision is limited. Granted, you turn left and right when you want to get air, but in between you're sort of stuck by looking forward. As a former long-distance swimmer, I had plenty of time out there to figure out the best way to swim and look around at the same time. So what I came up with is like a little mix. Whenever you get air, you head is to the side and then you take a stroke and then you turn your head to the other side. In between, of course, you look in a forward position. So when you start turning your head towards the side of getting air, bend your neck a little bit so in order to look backwards. Although it's not really you get slightly out of your best position with regards to hydrodynamics, but it will calm you down. And so I suggest do it every 10th stroke, maybe even every 5th stroke, whatever makes you more comfortable, and look behind to see or to make sure there is no shark there. Again, it affects your form and you likely need another stroke to get back into your rhythm, but it's an easy way. So, to look around and feel more relaxed. Of course, if offshore swimming is your thing, and it is known that sharks hang out in that particular area, ask a paddleboard, a friend, a kayaker, to follow you and just make sure there's no shark in the closer vicinity of your swimming. This leads me to the question, why sharks might be interested in a person that moves along the surface in the first place? Well, of course, one thing is the sound. And whenever a shark picks up this arrhythmical sound pattern, it creates a surge image, indicating, well, the only time a shark hears this type of sound is because there are struggling fish, struggling prey out there, and most likely it is dying, so a shark will investigate it. The second thing is, of course, when a shark sees us, we are at the surface. There is no healthy animal being on the surface for an extended period of time. I mean, a turtle comes up, grabs some air, goes down again. And so this actually increases the interest of a shark quite a bit. So on one side, we sound like something a shark knows. And again, we are sometimes reflecting like a struggling prey. And at the same token, we are at the surface for a longer period of time. Let's assume now that we are swimming out there and see a shark in our periphery, or even we just assume one. We assume that we just saw one. So what do we do? The first thing, even if the presence of a shark then turns out not to be the case, is to stop with a forward motion. And you change into a vertical position, facing the point where you believe the shark was, and let your feet dangle. We showed in a research project a few years back that the shark actually can differ between horizontal and vertical position of a human being. And once you switch from horizontal to vertical, sharks stay significantly further away. Feet dangling is important because the shark looks for anything familiar, and water pressure definitely would be it. So, whenever a shark tries to scan a person, see what it knows, it naturally would be drawn to the fins or to the feet, because if we push the feet or fin, we push away water, which of course would suggest the tail of an object. So we quite often see a swimmer being bitten in its feet because the shark assumes that's something it knows, but then realizes it hasn't seen it yet, but still the water pressure is there, so a shark might do a bite, an exploratory bite. For example, Mako, the fastest shark out there, is about 100 kilometers per hour, 60 miles per hour fast. It hunts down marlins. So how does it do it? Because marlins are extremely fast as well. Well, the shark bites off the tail of the marlin, so the marlin won't go anywhere. So chances are that's pretty much the same reason, we assume it's the same reason, that swimmers are bitten in their feet or divers into their fins. So now let's go back to the position. So you're now in a vertical position, you let your feet dangle, and you still can't make out the shark, because even if you look below the surface, if you don't have swim goggles, you really have a hard time to see clearly down there. So anything beyond a few meters is sort of impossible to detect. So if you don't really know if there is a shark or not, start pivoting around your main body axis. We showed in another project that despite that you are in a vertical position and your head is not in the water, a shark still knows where the back and front of a person is. So it understands us, and it's a very, very intriguing thing. We don't really know yet how a shark determines that, but it sure does. Should you be interested in that research paper, drop me a note and my website, Let's Talk Shark, and I send it to you. So should the shark then still come closer and it is necessary that I do something, remember, face, guide, push, move. This is something I introduced in episode 9 and then continued in episode 16. If you remember anything on all my episodes, just remember this one, face, guide, push, move. Of course, now you have the problem of getting out of water as well. Since the shark is in your vicinity, you might be forced not being able to move away. So you have to wait. And as soon as you have the first opportunity, try to get out of water in a very, very controlled manner. So you have to withdraw. How do you do that? First, only move when the shark's direction points away from you. That's actually a no-brainer, right? Second, always move in a way where you can keep the shark or its shadow in sight. That means sometimes you have to move backwards. Third, you stop moving right away, go vertical again and let your feet dangle once the shark turns back towards you. Well, and then you repeat it once in a while. You may have to do face guide push and the move part. That would mean, of course, you would have to go towards the animal until it backs off a little bit, and then start moving back towards the short again in a very controlled manner. But with all this, of course, there's still another issue. It's fear. People are getting afraid when the shark is close by, so fear really blocks a lot of good decision making. Unfortunately, sharks unify most basic human fears. They come up from the dark, they can eat us alive, they come from below, and all these things. So that doesn't really help during the interaction with a shark. But keep in mind, sharks are not dangerous. It's the situations we humans create. So if you are aware of your surroundings and you know the bottlenecks, I guarantee you nothing is going to happen with you. And the shark won't bite you for whatever reason, but most of the time just backs off. Of course, swimming among sharks needs some experience, and chances are you never encounter one and then actually can test what I just told you. But whenever we go swimming out there, we can be mentally prepared. We can tell ourselves, should a shark show up, this is what I do. Sharks are very forgiving in a way, like you can do a lot of things, like really create arrhythmical sound patterns and bring in the shark. But just bringing in the shark does not mean you will end up getting bitten. There's much more to say about swimming, of course, but you can always look up the activity of swimming in our database at the Shark Victim Network. We currently have more than 4,000 incidents in there that occurred from the 1900s until today. The website is www.sharkvictimnetwork.org. Of course, you can also go on my Let's Talk Shark website and follow the link. Should you have another question about swimming, by all means, drop me a note and I'm more than happy to answer directly what you ask me. That's for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day, and if you meet a shark out there, have fun. Enjoy the moment and remember, it is a privilege.